listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship, and I am flying solo this morning. Our show is usually co-hosted by Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications. Both of those agencies of the Archdiocese sponsor this show, but Danielle is out sick today. Hopefully she's listening and feeling better. And so I'm going to be going at it alone and happy to do so. Focus on the Liturgy is here every fourth Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10. And the areas that we discuss and explore all have to do with our traditions, liturgical life, our corporate communal public prayer. We talk about the Eucharist, the Sunday celebration of the Eucharist. We talk about the sacraments. We talk about the liturgical year and the seasons, and we break it all open and we help our listeners make connections. It is the Eucharist and the liturgy, all of the liturgical life of our tradition that makes us who we are as Catholics. It's the liturgy is the very heart of who we are. It makes up our identity. And so when we discuss and break open various parts of it, our hope and our goal is to help our listeners make those connections that can help them to enter into the Church's liturgy more fully, actively, and consciously, as the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy called us to do. For the last number of months, actually, since the very start of this calendar year, Danielle and I, at every one of our shows, have been breaking open, reviewing the English translation of the Order of Mass from the third edition of the Roman Missal. For those of our listeners who may have missed any of the shows, they are posted, they are podcast, and you can find those shows by going to any number of websites. Certainly the Archdiocesan website, the website for the Archdiocese of Chicago, www.archchicago.org, and go to the link to the Office of Radio and Television. Two other websites that can link you to those past shows where we explore the texts of the third edition of the Roman Missal are the website of ODW, the Office for Divine Worship, and that is www.odw.org, or you could go to the website of Liturgy Training Publications, www.ltp.org. LTP also has a dedicated website for the Roman Missal where you can link to those past shows, but you can also view a number of other resources that are available in regard to the Roman Missal. And that dedicated website is www.revisedromanmissal.org. So we have been going through the Order of Mass. The Order of Mass are those parts of the liturgy that do not change. They're the parts that remain the same, whether it is a Sunday or a weekday or a solemnity or a feast or a memorial. It doesn't matter. Those are the parts that do not change. The opening rites, the greeting and the penitential rite, the Gloria for Sundays and solemnities, the introductions to the liturgy of the Word, the Eucharistic prayers, all of those things that remain the same. We've been going through those texts and have been encouraging our listeners themselves to be aware of them and to familiarize themselves with these texts. These are the texts that we will begin using this fall, the first Sunday of Advent, November 26th and 27th, 2011. Those are the texts that from that date, they will be the words that give voice to our prayer. They will be the words with which we praise and thanks, thank God. Those will be the words through which Christ will unite our praise and thanksgiving to His as He offers that praise and thanks to the Father for now and for all eternity. Just as the words of the Mass in the current translation do, the words of the third edition of the Roman Missal will do the same. And those texts are available. Our listeners, we strongly encourage you to, as I say, seek out those texts. You can find them on the website of the United States Bishops, www.usccb.org. And if you go to the Roman Missal icon, go to the Roman Missal website of the United States Bishops, they have the Order of Mass there. You can download it. You can print it out. And one thing that we've been encouraging people, all Catholics, to do as they prepare for the third edition of the Roman Missal is not just to begin, not just to read them, to familiarize themselves with them, but to begin actually using these as a form of prayer, to reflectively and to prayerfully go through these texts. The Archdiocese of Chicago, our office, the Office for Worship, have been doing workshops for parish leadership all over the Archdiocese for the last 3 months or so. We've done over 24 of them. And at each one of those, for example, we encourage the participants to go to the website of the United States Bishops to download the Order of Mass and to spend time, for example, praying over the Eucharistic prayers for their own personal prayer, to read through them slowly and, as I say, prayerfully, to stop on occasion and to let the Holy Spirit surface whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants to make known to you. Be mindful of any of the words that strike you or any of the phrases that might strike you. Be aware of where those images and phrases, where those words take you, because that is indeed then the work of the Spirit, and that is prayer. And what a wonderful way for us Catholics to begin to receive these texts, to do so prayerfully and reflectively, to spend time meditating on them. The words of the liturgy for us are words that they are threads that connect us to our tradition. They're threads that connect us to our history. They are threads that connect us to our great heroes and heroines of faith. The words of Scripture are in our prayer texts. Oftentimes the words of the saints are in our prayer texts. The prayers, for example, that serve for the opening prayer for many of the saints' days, many of the observances of the saints in the sanctoral cycle, those words make reference to the saint, or they make reference to some aspect of that saint's life. For example, the opening prayer for Mass on the feast of St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence, who a martyr who was put to death for his faith, who was actually burned alive. The opening prayer of that for that day makes reference to that. And the prayer itself says something along the lines, I don't have it in front of me, but the prayer says something along the lines of, makes reference to God's love burning within us. And so the liturgy makes that connection to the lives of the saints, and in many ways connects us to that tradition. So these words are precious to us. And come November, we will have the work, the duty, the responsibility, the joy to receive these texts as our own. One of the things that Danielle and I have been talking about these last number of months is how, for us as Catholics, our ritual life does have an inherent danger, and that is that our ritual can become routine. And we know these words, and we know the rite, and we know the liturgy so well that if we're not careful, those words and those rituals, actions, they can go in one ear and out the other. And so we know them by heart. We know them so well. And so that will be a challenge for us come November. We will pick it up there, continuing to discuss and explore the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal when we come back. So stay tuned for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be back right after these messages.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
And welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship. Our regular co-host, Danielle Knott, is sick today, not able to be with us. She is from Liturgy Training Publications, and our two agencies sponsor Focus on the Liturgy. But right before that last break, I was talking about where we've been in this show for the last couple of months in regard to the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And I had made the point that that for us as Catholics, there is an inherent danger, in one sense, to our liturgical life, and that is when we know everything so well that we can do it without thinking. However, there's another side to that, and the other side, I think, is that, we know these words so well that they are in our hearts and that they're in our bones. Oftentimes, because it is ritual, it is repetitive, we say the words of the Mass, but we say them from the deepest part of our being because we know these words so well. And that would be the hope for the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And so that's what we've been doing. That's where we've been these number of months. As I say, those past shows are available on the podcast. One of the areas, however, in our exploration of the Order of Mass, one of the areas that Danielle and I have often touched on as we were going through the Order of Mass were the sung parts of the Mass. The texts are changing, and because of of that, the music is going to change for the sung parts. The sung parts of the Mass that we're referring to are among others, are things like the Gloria and the Sanctus, the memorial acclamation. For all of those, the texts are going to be different, and so the music will be. And we've made reference to that over the last couple of months. We've pointed out that the Catholic music publishers have been hard at work for the last number of years preparing music for the third edition of the Roman Missal. But we wanted to give more time to that, and so that's going to be the focus of our show today. And to help us do that is Annabelle O'Shea from our office, from the Office of Divine Worship. Annabelle is the Director of Liturgies and Music, herself a liturgical musician. She's a flautist or a flutist, depending on what you how you want to refer to it. And she's been here on the show, and she's been on other shows on Relevant Radio, and you've all heard her before, but it's nice to have you back, Annabelle. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me here.
Whenever Danielle and I were talking, and you know this just from being in the office and hearing the show on occasion, you know, we've said that one of the things that we want to do in the exploration of the coming translation is to have a whole show that's devoted to the music, because the music of the Mass is so much a part of it and so important to our prayer life.
Absolutely, it is. Ours is a sung liturgy. We are called to not just sing at the Mass, but actually sing the Mass. Our liturgical texts are written in a way to be sung. Actually, they're easier to sing than they are to speak. Also, our scripture texts are meant to be sung. We sing the psalm every Sunday, and the other readings are also written in a way that they can be chanted on occasion too. So ours is a sung liturgy.
Well, our tradition has been certainly in the earliest years, the liturgy would have been sung because music is such a part of the synagogue worship.
Sure.
We would have inherited that.
Sure. Actually, they used a form called cantillation way back then, which was a form of heightened speech, somewhere between speech and song as we would think about it today, but it was actually very, very natural for them at that time.
Our Jewish brothers and sisters still pray that way?
Yes, they do.
Our brothers and sisters in the Muslim community yes. pray that way, mm-hmm. I believe, as well. So, it was almost like a sing-pray.
That's right.
But for centuries, the Mass was sung.
Yes, indeed.
So it's not foreign to us. It's certainly part of our tradition. And one of the things that the bishops of the United States have been, as you know, have taken the opportunity of this English translation of the third edition, they've taken the opportunity to revisit that whole aspect of singing the various parts of the Mass.
Right, they have. And in fact, in the what will be new in this English translation of the third edition is that in addition to the Latin chants for the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei, for example, those same melodies will appear in the Missal, but also with English translation. So that will be new in this Missal.
Yeah, that's something that we don't have in the current edition, the current translation.
Right.
Annabelle, before you came in, I was making reference to the workshops that we've been doing all over the Archdiocese for parish leadership, and among those were workshops that we did for musicians. And in that, in those workshops, you do a great job of rooting this whole exploration of the role of music in the liturgy in the Constitution, specifically paragraph 112, which is kind of foundational in terms of what it outlines for a number of the other documents that we make reference to. For example, Sing to the Lord, Music and Divine Worship, the most recent document on music from the United States bishops. But that paragraph of the Constitution, I think, is so substantial. And in many ways, I think it's rather profound.
It is. It is. And it gives several good descriptions of what music is and the emphasis that the Church places on music. For example, in that paragraph, the Constitution tells us that sacred music is integral to the liturgy. It's normative. Our liturgy is meant to be sung. Liturgy without music is not normative.
Yeah.
And this includes all liturgy. This includes baptisms. This includes wake services. This includes committal services, weddings. Every liturgy, music is normative.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's a great spot to pause just for a quick break, but to pick up on that when we come back. Because one of the things that we want to do today, in addition to just exploring the role of music, is to hear some examples of the new mass settings that we'll begin using as of November 26th and 7th of this year. So we'll look forward to that in the remainder of the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship. And with me here in the studio is Annabelle O'Shea from our office.
Good morning.
And, yeah, we're talking about music, the musical settings that we will begin using with the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. It's been something that Danielle Knott and I have referenced number of times in our exploration of these texts. And so we knew that we had to have a whole show devoted to this, and Annabelle is helping us do that. Annabelle, right before that break, you and I were talking about kind of that foundational, and in many ways it is, a foundational paragraph from the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, the first document of the Council, the document that called for the renewal of the Church's liturgical life. But that document specifically addresses music, and it makes a number of points. The first one we made right before that break, the fact that music is normative, it's integral to the liturgy itself, but there are a couple other points that it makes in that paragraph.
Right. It tells us that music adds delight to the worship.
I love that. It adds delight. Worship isn't a burden. It's a delight.
Right. And I think all of our listeners can certainly even just think about an occasion like a birthday. When you sing happy birthday, it adds delight to the occasion. And can you imagine a birthday without singing happy birthday?
We say that the liturgy, all liturgy, is a celebration. It's a celebration of the body of Christ in union with Christ himself. That's celebratory. It should be delightful.
Right, right, indeed.
And then the other points that it makes kind of flow from that.
It tells us that music fosters unity. I think in a way that other arts have more of a challenge. Music certainly can bring people of different cultures, different backgrounds together in ways that we'll explore a little bit later in the show when we listen to some of the examples too.
That point, I think, is terribly important and often overlooked and mm-hmm. missed by people. Mm-hmm. Singing in our culture is different. It's different right. than it is in many cultures. It certainly is much more different than the culture from which our liturgy has come in its history.
That's very true. And I think in terms of our own social culture, the role of music has changed even in the last 50 years. I mean, if you think back a few generations, our grandparents used to delight in gathering around the piano and singing. And that was just a normative part of any family gathering. And it's not really so no. today. It's not so in our culture. We're more of an entertainment-oriented culture.
That's it. Music has become entertainment. It's not something we enter into.
Right. And even in this day and age, in other cultures and other lands, that's not the case. Music is still very much a part of their social culture, too.
And so that particular role that music plays to foster unity in the liturgy. It's not a bunch of individuals just singing together. It's the idea is that the music of the liturgy calls us to pray with one voice. And so it's not just a bunch of individuals singing, it's one voice raising that voice in praise and thanks.
As the body of Christ, we come together as one body to worship.
So, I mean, for the listeners, think about it. When you're singing, all of the times we sing at Mass, one of the purposes, it's to bring you and me and Annabelle and all of us together. It's to bring us, it's to make us, it's one of the elements that helps to make us into the one body of Christ, which will offer the great prayer of praise and thanks that is the liturgy.
That's right, that's right.
Some of the other points that paragraph makes.
It says it adds a level of solemnity. And certainly that's what we've been talking about too, that the music itself heightens our awareness and adds a level of solemnity. And as Todd has made the point so often with these previous shows on the new translation, the music will, there is no doubt that we will be praising God with these new texts.
Yeah.
And the music will help us to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it adds a level of solemnity.
It also tells us that the music gives glory to God and sanctifies the liturgical assembly. Love that part.
Why?
Just to think about how music can sanctify the liturgical assembly. The music makes holy the people of God who use the vehicle of music to praise.
So here's something. Here's a challenge then for the listeners. I don't think many of us as Catholics have a problem believing and understanding that the words of Scripture sanctify us, right? The words of the gospel sanctify us. We understand that. I think we understand the words of the Eucharistic prayer certainly sanctifies the gifts, but it also sanctifies us. How many people think that the music makes holy?
Right.
The music is efficacious. The music is effective. It does something. It has a power.
It certainly does. And when we leave liturgy on Sunday morning, how many of us still have one of the hymns or some part of the tune stuck in our heads? It does make us holy.
It carries us through.
Right.
You know, in a sense, in that experience that you just cited, I think many of us, if not all of us, can relate to it. In a sense, that effect, that dynamic, you know, it extends the celebration of the Eucharist for us.
That's right.
In our cars, back to our homes, to the whatever else we do later that day with that psalm, that opening hymn, that communion hymn still in our minds, it extends the effects of the Eucharist in our lives.
It enables us to carry liturgy into our daily lives, and is that not what we are called to do?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Then I think there's one other point that that paragraph makes.
It just says that music is a treasure of inestimable value.
Yeah, yeah. Inestimable value.
We have a little problem with that word, but it's certainly, you get the idea.
Well, you can't put a You can't name its worth. It's
no,
so great.
No, you can't. You can't put words on the value of music.
Yeah. And so it bears weight to sit and then to break open some of those musical pieces and to look at some of those examples, which is what we will do right after this break. The whole second half of our show will be devoted to looking at those examples, so stay tuned here on Relevant Radio 950 to Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be back right after these messages.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese-organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship. I'm here in the studio with Annabelle O'Shea from our office.
Hello, Todd.
Hello.
Good to be
again.
Here.
Yeah, and for this whole second half of the show, Annabelle has brought numerous examples, and in the office, as she and I have been talking about this, numerous examples that we've been using in our workshops, but that really will give our listeners a good sense of what they'll be singing, what they will be entering into come November 26th and 27th.
That's right. And in that regard, it's notable that the bishops have asked us all to have in our vocabulary the Latin chants, and I'm sure many of our listeners will recognize these. As Todd has pointed out so many times in previous shows, the Latin language is not changing at this point in time, and probably not for a long time to come. So what we have sung for so many years in Latin, Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth, etc., that's not going to change.
No.
That's not going to change. That's going to be the same. And as we were mentioning a little earlier in the show, what is going to be different in the new translation of the third edition in English is that the English will be in the Missal now with that same melody. So we can take a listen to that. This is our first excerpt of the day. This is going to be the Holy, Holy in English with that melody that will be so familiar to you.
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
What's amazing is we know that chant, we know that tone.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And in the English translation of the third edition, have taken the English and put it to that chant.
Right.
And we heard the one change. It's only one part of the Sanctus that is changing.
Right. The very beginning of the text, "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of Hosts," is the only line in the Sanctus that will be changing in the new translation.
And of course, the as you pointed out, it's the translation that is different. The Latin it remains as it has been in
centuries.
This. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Other pieces where people will notice the differences in the coming translation.
Well, probably in terms of the music, the greatest difference comes with the Gloria.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
The especially the beginning of the Gloria, that's going to be a lot different for people.
The English in the third edition of the Roman Missal really does emphasize and make obvious the poetic qualities of this ancient hymn of praise, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. Even saying it, it has that quality, but when it's put to the music.
Poetry, it yeah. really is. And in terms of the Gloria, there are a few different formats that composers have used in their settings of this. First of all, there are new settings musically, and there are revised settings. So some of our beloved settings have been revised. Actually, there's more than 50 new and revised settings yeah. altogether, just from our three main publishers here in this country. But in terms of the Gloria, there are two forms that can be used for that. And one of them is a through-composed form where the assembly sings the entire text, or the choir sings the entire text. And the other format is the refrain verse style, where the assembly just has the refrain, that first line of the Gloria to sing, and the cantor or the choir has everything else to sing.
And then they come in, and it's like after the verse with the refrain.
That's correct.
My parish does both.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that about my parish. We do both. We'll do a refrain, but then there are settings that we all know by heart, and we just sing the whole hymn of praise all together.
Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we listen to a little bit of a setting that's a refrain verse style, and then we'll listen to one that is through composed.
Excellent.
This first one, so this will be our second excerpt this morning, comes to us from the African-American tradition. It's a setting called The Mass of Unity, and it's written by Nora Duncan.
We give you thanks for your great glory.
right, so that one style, I think many parishes would be familiar with that. I love this. We've used this in our workshops, and I love this setting. This certainly highlights that principle from the paragraph 112 of the Constitution. It adds delight. How can you hear that and not have that just lift your soul in praise?
And it also focuses on unity. When we've used this example in our Roman Missal workshops for musicians, we've asked them the question, before we tell them what style this is, we've asked them the question, in what communities might they see this example working? And inevitably, they'll say in contemporary settings with young people.
Campus
ministers, campus settings, any kind of a lively setting. But the one area that they don't mention is the African-American community. So what a wonderful way.
From which this came, really.
Right. So what a wonderful way to make your community aware of a different culture by bringing music to them. And once they've embraced this music, then let them know they've also learned something about a different culture in the process. Yeah. So music fosters unity.
And there are other ways. What's the word I want? It's not style. The other way of singing the Gloria, then the through
another style, another format.
Format. That's what I wanted.
Another
Thanks.
Format is the through composed mm-hmm. format. And as Todd was saying, at his parish, they do both forms. So in this next example, written by Steve Janko, we have a through composed style. This comes to us from the Mass of Redemption. That's a mass that we've been using in our parishes for many years, but the Gloria itself is brand new. So when Steve went to revise this setting, he decided to scrap the entire old Gloria that we're, you know, with the text we're currently using, but wrote something brand new.
Annabelle, let's let this this example, let's let it take us into the next break, and then we'll be back after that to break that a little bit open.
Great, wonderful.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charity's Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice, DVD, and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease a transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Glory to God in the highest, glory to God, and on earth peace to people of good.
Three settings of the coming English translation of the Gloria.
Right. So what we have just been listening to as we've come out of the break has been the Mass of Light, which I'm sure is familiar to many of our listeners. It's a current setting that has been revised with the new translation, and I'm sure many people will recognize it. It's commonly used in our parishes, written by David Haas.
Excellent. Annabelle O'Shea from our office. I'm Todd Williamson. This is Focus on the Liturgy in our last segments, looking at some of the examples that we will begin singing as of the fall of this year.
Right. And many composers have not only revised their current settings, but they've also written new ones. So we also have an excerpt written by David Haas, same composer that wrote the excerpt we just listened to. But this is a brand new setting, so written for the new translation.
And this is the Sanctus?
This is still the Gloria.
Oh, okay.
This is still the Gloria. And this is from his new Mass for a New World. So two different settings by the same composer, by David Haas, and that second one was written specifically for the new translation with the new words in mind.
But he also is one composer who has given us a setting that is well known around the nation, the Mass of Creation.
Marty Haugen wrote the Mass of Creation. But that's a great segue into our Mass of Creation.
Nice cover. Thanks.
Well, David Haas and Marty Haugen are very good friends.
Yeah, and they work together so often.
They're both from Minnesota, so
it was understandable. But his Mass of Creation is Mass of Creation is one of the revised settings.
Yes, it is. And in its current form, it's probably the most commonly used Mass form in this country. Not that he wrote it with that in mind, but it has risen to the top. And certainly when we want a default setting, music directors seem to default to Mass of Creation most often. It's a wonderful setting and has been revised.
And so that will take the new text to and set to the familiar tune.
Right. So in terms of the Holy, Holy, where we have just that first line of text that is different, the Holy, Holy in its current setting, I'm sure you'll be familiar with from the Mass of Creation. Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power, God of might, and and so on. Our listeners are familiar with that. And the new setting, the new setting of that version is so similar. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth, and so on. And that's all of it that's changed.
Yeah. So it fit quite well into the familiar melody that people know. The challenge, and we've talked about this, you and I, the challenge is that the Catholic DNA doesn't kick in.
Right. You know, there's musicians are really polarized on the issue of revised settings versus new settings. Some really feel like Catholics will have a very hard time with those settings, like Mass of Creation, that are such in our bones already in their current setting, and that we'll have a hard time adjusting to them in the new setting, which is why composers like Marty Haugen and David Haas have also given us new settings. And these are wonderful composers, and their new settings are just beautiful.
Yeah. Annabelle, the last couple of minutes that we have here, we should spend some time talking and listening to some examples of the Memorial Acclamation, the Mystery of Faith. And I say that because just so our listeners are aware, Annabelle, we've made this point, spent time making sure people understand this, and Danielle and I have talked about it, but the Memorial Acclamation will be an area where people will notice a great difference. We both have said often that probably the most familiar memorial acclamation that we have in this country is Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And as of November 27th, that will not be an option for us. It doesn't follow the form of the memorial acclamation. And so we will, the options that we do have will, because of that, sound quite different to people.
Yes, they will. But the options that we do have are also very beautifully written.
Oh, yeah. And
beautiful text.
Sure. And we've also agreed that if Christ has died, Christ has risen is the most familiar, the second most familiar would be when we eat this bread and drink this cup. And that is, and always has been, one of the options for the Memorial Acclamation.
Right. And there's beautiful musical settings of these now, too, including the chant. These are going to be new now in the Missal with the new text, but they are in there in the chant form. And also in many other settings, because every composer that has written a new or revised setting has set the text of the Memorial Acclamation to music.
Okay. Just real quickly, the options that we have: we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. The second option: when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. And the third option: save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free. Those will be the options for the Memorial Acclamation as they are now. But what will they sound like?
Well, here's a setting from the Mass of Wisdom. The Mass of Wisdom is written by Steve Janko. We heard his Mass of Redemption a few minutes ago with the Gloria. This is Steve's Mass of Wisdom. Steve is a local folk here. He lives in the Archdiocese of Chicago and is the music minister at St. Eulalia Parish in Maywood. And he wrote this setting, the Mass of Wisdom, on a commission from Mary Seat of Wisdom Parish in Park Ridge. So a lot of local connections to this. His Memorial Acclamation A, which is the text, "We proclaim your death, O Lord," sounds like this. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Beautiful.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it lovely? And what is so unique about this Mass of Wisdom, maybe our listeners even caught it with that Memorial Acclamation, is that Steve wrote this so that the Memorial Acclamation doesn't sound like it's a final ending. And he has a similar ending on the end of the Holy, Holy. And then when we get to the end of the Great Amen, finally it sounds like it's final. In musical terms, it rests on the tonic. And in the other parts of the Mass, it rests in the dominant, which means it ends on the fifth note of the scale instead of on the tonic, on the first note of the scale.
So it's unresolved.
It's unresolved until we get to the end of the Great Amen. So what Steve has done is connect the music closely with the liturgical text, which is what that paragraph 112 of the Constitution calls us to do.
Do we have an example of the second option, the one that I think would probably be the second most familiar memorial acclamation?
Yes, we do. It goes like this. When we eat this bread and drink this cup,
Excellent.
And again, unresolved.
Yeah. Yeah. In all of these, the memorial acclamations, the texts, we might not be as familiar with them as Christ has died, Christ is risen. But certainly with these musical settings, they will, I don't think we're going to have, we Catholics in the United States, I don't think we will have great trouble with this.
I don't think so either. New texts and new music marry themselves together well.
Yeah.
And I think that people will pick them up quickly.
Annabelle, in these last few minutes, for our listeners who might want to hear more of these examples of the coming musical settings, where can we send them, where they can hear more examples?
The three main music publishers all have websites, and they all have audio examples on their websites, so please feel free to listen to those. We've been listening to examples this morning from GIA, and their web address is giamusic.com. They are based here in Chicago, as is World Library Publications, and their address is wlpmusic.com. And the third location is ocp.org, and OCP is located in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon.
So, listeners, if you missed the websites, simply Google GIA, World Library,
right,
or OCP, and on their websites, they go to the Roman Missal links on their websites, and they have podcasts. They have audio examples. You can click on any of them for the Gloria, for the Sanctus, for the other parts that of the Mass that aren't changing, like the great Amen, the Lamb of God. The Kyrie.
Right.
But you can actually click on those podcasts and you can listen to them.
That's right.
Excellent. Annabelle, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and to help us break open and explore some of these examples of the musical settings we'll begin using with the third edition of the Roman Missal come November. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Todd.
We're going to close on...
We are listening to a bilingual setting of the Holy Holy, written by Bob Hurd. The Holy Holy, this is Spanish and English in this particular version.
Excellent. You've been listening to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson with Annabelle O'Shea. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you next month on the fourth Wednesday of July.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination ceremony of 10 new priests. We'll show you highlights from Rome of the beatification of Pope John Paul II. And we'll talk to Cardinal Francis George about the significant issues that are covered in his latest book, God in Action.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour
on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.